Welcome to Uplifting Moments with Pastor John Edmiston, where we uplift your soul and mind and spirit by teaching of God's Word.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Uplifting Moments, and we're working through the whole idea of emotional intelligence and how to be a great Christian leader, father, mother, church member, pastor, or missionary. How to have a resonant spiritual life, a resonant emotional life. And today we're going to tackle a really big problem. It's called the mind-brain problem, and this is about as philosophical as this program will ever get. But is your mind your brain? Is your brain your mind? What's the difference between the two? And before that, let's pray. Father in heaven, glorify yourself today as we look into the discussion about who we are. What's our mind? What's our brain? What's our spirit? What's our soul? Reveal yourself today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's look at it. And this is on page 154 of my book, Biblical EQ. Now, we're talking about a thing called the mind-brain problem. And it's really fascinating. Don't get intimidated by this. Just go along and you'll find that this is an issue that's really relevant for the Christian life today, especially with artificial intelligence. Now, the philosopher Descartes posed the problem of how the physical organ called the brain and the subjective phenomenon mind interact. Is my mind merely the product of my neural activity, a perfectly predictable thing that obeys the laws of physics so that I have no free will, as Thomas Huxley proposed in 1874, and most of Silicon Valley believes today? Are mind and brain the same phenomenon but viewed from different angles, so that the brain is how we view it from the outside and the mind is how we view it from the inside? Bertrand Russell held this view, and he was a horrible atheist. Anyway, the philosopher and mathematician Leibniz saw them as parallel universes in perfect harmony but not interacting. Mind and brain were like two matched clocks that kept the same time, though they were quite separate and without interaction. And the idealists, such as Hegel, saw the mind as the only reality and the physical brain as simply a creation of the mind. This is regarded by most as an extreme view. 20th century philosophers have taken with the notion that the mind is just a computer program running on the hardware called the brain. Thus, there is no mind-brain duality and no problem because we're all just a computer. Okay, that's not true. We'll find out why later. There are almost as many solutions as there are philosophers, some invoking quantum states and others reverberating neural circuits. It's a fascinating subject, and if you have the time, just search on the internet for mind-brain problem or consciousness, and you'll find as many articles as you like with as many different theories as you can manage. Well, is there a Christian, biblical, and scriptural position to it? Is our consciousness simply a physical part of us, or is there some entity, a soul or a spirit, which is separate from the body and possesses consciousness? The Bible is quite clear that consciousness persists after death. To put it bluntly, the mind continues to exist after worms have eaten the brain. Thus, the mind does not depend on the brain for its existence. But does that lead to the idealist position where the mind creates the brain? Not at all. The Bible states that the body was formed before the mind. God made Adam out of clay. Adam's body existed, presumably including his brain, before the spirit of life and consciousness was breathed into him and he became a living soul, Genesis 2:7. Therefore, if the body existed before the mind, it is not created by the mind. The idealist position collapses. The separate natures of the mind and brain can be seen as follows. A, we live on after death. Therefore, the human mind can exist independently without the physical brain. B, when God created mankind, he made the physical body first. Therefore, the physical brain can exist independently without the human mind. This is called the strong dualist position. If you think about it, it's the only position that can support any sort of free will or morality. If the mind, that is my humanity and reason, is simply a biochemical or computing phenomenon, a somewhat predictable entity, like a complicated billiard ball, then I am relieved of all responsibility. I'm predetermined by a complex set of initial conditions, and my reactions are simply nature taking its biochemical course, and that's not a Christian position. Hitler and Mother Teresa are just different neurological arrangements according to that theory, and society happens to prefer the latter over the former. For a Christian, this is an entirely untenable position, despite its appeal to the deconstructed amorality of the modern world. Deconstructed amorality means there's no morals, no up or down. We just throw away all the old religious narratives and say, we're inventing something new. We're going to have our own morals. We see that all around us today. Okay. To me, the Christian position seems as follows. Number one, mind and brain are separate entities. Mind is eternal, but the brain is temporal. Point two, mind is grounded in consciousness, which arises from the soul that is quickened by the spirit. Point three, the brain as we know it mainly acts on sense data from the physical world and coordinates the physical functions of our bodies. In maps of the brain, complex physical tasks such as the coordination of the thumb take up most of the space. Brain maps show very little space devoted to the existential matters of the mind. Okay, point four. Right. While we are in this physical world, we need a physical brain. That's kind of obvious. It's the data link between an immaterial soul and a material universe. The physical brain mediates how our mind communicates with our bodies and receives sense impressions about the external physical world. When the mind expresses itself, it does so through our bodies, which are coordinated by our brains. Point five, the spirit is designed to handle communication in the spiritual realm directly and intuitively. So when we are not in this material realm, such as when we are with God in heaven, we can have consciousness via the spirit without the presence of a physical brain. Okay, so this is the souls under the altar, which can speak, feel, and communicate with God, and we find them in Revelation 6, 9, and 10, and they're crying out for justice from God, even though they have not yet received their resurrection bodies. Now, point six, and we've got 10 of these points, so point six. Thus, as we saw in the chapters on perception, we can receive knowledge directly and intuitively from the Spirit in spirit-to-spirit communication. Such communication goes directly into our mind. When it occurs, it can be very powerful because it is so direct. When Daniel received prophetic messages, it left him emotionally drained for days or weeks afterwards. We see that in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 8. Point 7. We can also receive communication directly through our senses into our brain. This input is filtered before it reaches consciousness and does not necessarily get there. For instance, we can come out of a daydream to be suddenly aware that the kettle has been furiously boiling for a few minutes and that our brain knew this at the time was just not getting through to our consciousness. Consciousness can ignore sense data. Input to the brain does not necessarily mean input to the mind. Okay, and we've all done that. We've all driven along and arrived home and gone, oh, I don't remember anything about how I drove home. Ever done that? Okay. That's where consciousness ignores the sense data. Somehow our body keeps driving, but we're not really conscious that we're driving. Number eight, damage to the brain is mainly damage to our ability to process sensory data and to interact with the physical world. So when a damage to the brain comes, we become uncoordinated and things happen there. There are also, in some cases, real damage to emotions, but the spiritual life of a person who has brain damage can be remarkably intact. Nine, brain damage does not affect the mind in our ability to have a soul or spirit or to experience salvation. Christians working with people with mental disabilities have no doubt about the spirituality of their clients. And you can have a condition, a neurological condition, which affects you profoundly and still have a deep and powerful relationship with God. While this is so, most people have a strong interaction between mind and brain, which produces wisdom, intelligence, and creativity. While the mind is ultimately independent of the brain, damage to the brain can reduce our ability to experience our mind in this life. For instance, in the case of the deep confusion that accompanies Alzheimer's disease. Thus, our emotions flow most fundamentally from our soul and spirit, but are then connected to the world and senses through the body, which includes the brain. This connection is intimate and deep, and unless something disturbs it, mind and brain appear to be a seamless whole as the body-soul-spirit complex functions as one integrated entity. Okay, in the case of the client with dual frontal lobotomies, her ability to interact with and evaluate her vocabulary was missing. She did not know the difference between appropriate and inappropriate words. This was a loss of cognitive processing in the brain, not a deficiency of character or spirituality. Also, the personality changes that come with medication do not necessarily affect a person's salvation or their spirituality, though they do affect how that person experiences his or her spirituality. So, okay, we're looking at a very complicated thing here. I was just reading the chunk out of the book there because I couldn't find any way to really summarize it for you. So we have a mind which is eternal, a brain which is temporary, and our soul and spirit go on to be with God, and our consciousness in heaven is a greatly expanded consciousness from what we have now, but it's a continuation of human consciousness. We will remember things. We will have memories. We will not be absolutely and totally different from who we are now. And so Jesus could appear to Paul on the road to Damascus, and he spoke as a human being, appeared as a human being, spoke to him. And there was a sense of continuity between the Jesus who walked on earth and the Jesus who appeared to the apostle Paul. So consciousness continues. We have eternal life, which means we have eternal living consciousness, awareness, soul, and spirit. Our life does not end with our brain. And so as our brain will die, it will decay, it will rot. We will die, decay, our body will rot, but it will be resurrected. So mind and brain are different. And this is a big problem in the spiritual life. Now, how does that relate to emotional intelligence and to leadership? We need to realize that we are complex, eternal creatures. We're not just a computer. We are a being filled with God's Spirit. If you're a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, that Spirit makes a huge difference to our ability to have the right kind of consciousness to live in life. We are primarily a spiritual being having a bodily experience, which includes experiencing our physical brain and working through that brain. So I want you to think of yourself as a spiritual being having a bodily experience, someone who's going to be eternal, and to work hard on being as spiritual as you can be and conquering the crazy stuff that goes through your head by praying, by reading the Bible, and staying in the Spirit at all times. They'll make a big difference to who you are and to the state of your eternal life, to the state of your capital M mind, which continues forever. More on that next week. This is John Edmiston signing off with Uplifting Moments and my book, Biblical EQ, is at biblicaleq.com. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Uplifting Moments with Pastor John Edmiston. Please visit his website, eternityradio.org, where you can send in your prayer requests and support this worldwide Bible teaching radio ministry. Remember, eternityradio.org.